And we are back from the Ron Scott Memorial Communication Center here at Show Center. Airbench Roshkosh 2016, talking with Congressman Sam Graves, and we got all the legislative stuff out of the way, right? Yeah. Anything else you wanted to cover before?
I think we covered it.
Oh, good, 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 good. Because I'd much rather talk about fun things like airplanes. You mentioned that you learned how to fly early on in life. How many different airplanes have you flown through your career?
That's a good question. A lot of different stuff, to be quite honest with you, and something that that's something I love is just trying out different airplanes and new airplanes. And people always ask you, too, you know, what's your favorite airplane? Well, it's the last one you flew.
Right.
That's your favorite airplane.
What did you solo in?
I soloed in a Cessna 172.
Okay. And then, obviously, somewhere along the line, you transitioned into tail draggers.
It was not long after that, as a matter of fact. In fact, I did my early training in a PA-11 and then soloed in a 172 and then immediately went back. I was able to buy a PA-11, and that's how I got started in tail dragging. But I think the majority of my hours are probably tailwheel.
Okay. Do you still have that PA-11?
I do.
You
do? I still have that PA-11.
Does it get out? Do you get it out much?
It does. Not as much as I would like. But every time I climb in it, you know, it's you get that feeling of, why am I not flying this more often?
That's great. And you also have a little air show in your backyard as well.
Yes.
Tarkio Air Show.
Wingnuts Flying Circus in Tarkio, Missouri. And it's a great little air show. Greatest little air show. In the country. Dan Fordyce might argue that with me with his Southern Heritage Air Show, but we think we're the greatest little air show.
All right. And when we just missed that this year, right?
Yes.
It was just a couple weeks ago. Okay.
Yep.
So it's always about mid-July?
It is. It's always the second weekend in July, so it's we try to keep the date every year.
Good. Tarkio, Missouri. I mean, I've been there. I've been to the show. And it's not hard to find.
No, it's not.
It's a nice flight. It's good. How many years have you been coming to Oshkosh?
Oh, my. Probably it's got to be 20 years, pretty close to 20 years. I've been coming here a long, long time.
Any good stories that kind of stand out in your memory?
There's lots of good stories, actually. But
any that you can share with us? Better question.
I almost got thrown out of an air. I was flying a Stearman up here. It was a Bull Stearman, 600-horse Stearman. It's got a Pratt & Whitney 1340 on it. And my buddy and I were flying up here, if you've ever been in a Stearman very much, it's not a comfortable airplane for long cross countries. And I was going to unbuckle because we were getting ready to land, and I was in the back seat, and I was going to unbuckle and get all resituated and lined up. And I told my friend, no negative. You know, I'm unbuckling, and for whatever reason, he thought I said go negative, and he pushed it over, and I was leaving the airplane very quickly, and I got my toes caught on the stringers on the side, and that was an experience, and I couldn't scream because when I rose up out of the seat, I pulled the mic plugs out, so I was screaming at the top of my lungs.
And no one could hear you.
That no one could hear me.
Oh, my goodness. Well, yeah, obviously, you made it here. That's good. And have you flown in with the full traffic pattern with everyone?
Absolutely. I'm usually on the Warbird arrival, and Texas Flying Legends, we bring our sixth ship in, which is always an interesting flight in. This year I came in the CAF P-40, and so I was single. It's a Warbird arrival is a little bit different than regular arrival. I've done regular arrival in a Cherokee before, and it can get hectic out west of here.
Oh, a little bit. Just want to shout out to the controllers who did a great job over the weekend getting everyone in here.
They did.
Basically full. You can probably hear that there's not a lot of activity going on besides the tri-motors taking off. It's kind of quiet here. Not a whole lot of arrivals or departures. There's really no room for anybody anymore, unfortunately. But we're glad everyone's here. For you, you mentioned the Texas Flying Legends. You fly with them and been doing so for a few years. How did you get hooked up with that group?
Doug Rosendahl actually was the person that brought me on board, and they needed a TBM pilot, and I was rated. So I've been flying the TBM with them once in a while, the P-40, but love flying with them. The TBM isn't part of the show here at Oshkosh this year. We had an engine problem. I actually had an emergency landing in Chinle, Arizona on the way to the L.A. County Air Show, and we changed the cylinder out and threw a valve out is what happened. We changed the cylinder out, completed the show, and when we got it back to Minot for maintenance, we pulled it apart and found a few things in there that needed to be fixed. So we pulled the engine and just didn't quite get it back on before Oshkosh. So we substituted the Wildcat in there.
Okay. The Texas Flying Legends. Tell us a little bit about the Texas Flying Legends and the mission of the organization.
Well, the mission is very simple, and we want to honor those who have served their country, served our country, not only those that have paid the ultimate sacrifice, but those that served and came home and are continuing continuing to serve. And that's what our entire mission is. We're a flying museum, so we take the planes to the public so that they can see them. They don't have to travel and see them. We like to keep them flying, and we work very hard at that and try to do as many shows as we can. And we have a very strong message, which folks will get to hear. And Rob Ryder's our announcer and does a very good job with that message. And it's all about our – and it kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier, but our duty to vote, our responsibility to vote and get active in the process and as Americans and taking control of our future. And it's a good message, and we're proud to bring it.
Good. What are the aircraft that the museum has?
We have 11 different aircraft. Our latest acquisition is a Spitfire Mark 9, which folks are going to get to see. We also have a Zero, one of the only flying Zeros. It will not be here this year. It's in maintenance. We have the B-25, the Corsair, the Wildcat, P-40K model. We also have an E model. Then we have the Mustang, and I think that's the planes that are coming this year. But on top of that, we have a C-47, we have an L-5, we have a Harvard. And then of course I mentioned the Zero, which is one of the prides of the fleet. But a lot of good airplanes.
Yeah. Now you mentioned that Zero. That is an actual
Zero.
Not a replica Zero.
It's
that's
an A6M, and it's the oldest flying Zero. It's actually the very same model that was used at Pearl Harbor. It was produced in January of 1942, just 1 month after Pearl Harbor, and it was recovered out of New Guinea and brought to the United States and restored, and very proud of that airplane.
Found in New Guinea in parts and pieces? I mean, this is a ground-up restoration?
It was ground-up restoration. It was brought to Canada, and then was ultimately sold to a group in North Dakota, which they finished the restoration. Jerry Beck, Warren Peach being a very big part of that. Then they eventually sold it to the Texas Flying Legends, and so we've been flying it ever since. And Warren does a great job at demonstrating it and the abilities of that aircraft and what it can do. And we're sorry that we couldn't bring it here this year.
And Warren is the chief pilot for the
Warren museum. Is the director of flight operations, and he's our boss.
Okay. You mentioned the Spitfire. Are you going to get any time in that?
I don't know. Warren's pretty tight on that one. He likes to keep that one all to himself, and he's really getting used to it this year with the Zero being down. We moved the Spitfire into its place, and so he's gotten a lot of good time in the Spitfire, and he's really starting to ring it out now, and folks will get to see it when we do the show.
What day are you flying?
I believe we're flying on Wednesday, which would be tomorrow, mm-hmm. and I don't know when the second day is. I'm not so sure it isn't Friday.
Okay. And what will folks see?
Basically, they're going to see, and what we try to concentrate on is our formation work. And you'll see our basic six-ship formation come through, and we'll do two or three different passes, bottom side pass, top side pass, straight passes. Then we will break up, and we'll do a couple of individual demos. The Spitfire will do a demo. We'll have a little bit of P-40 work, Mustang work, Corsair work, and then they will come in and we'll do individual strafing passes and then some banana passes, a few other things that are thrown in there and for fun. But it'll be a good show.
Yeah, and no fun at all for you.
No fun at all.
Didn't think so. How many shows do you get to go to every year?
We're going to do this year. We did two in California already. Obviously doing this, we did a couple of smaller shows. We were in Sioux Falls, South Dakota just last week. Then we're hopefully, if it all works out too, we're going to be in Pearl Harbor for the 75th anniversary. We're still waiting to see how that works out and if it comes to be. And if that doesn't, then we'll obviously be at Wings Over Houston and a couple other shows between now and then.
Speaking of Houston, that's actually the home base for
that's the home base
for the
Houston,
Texas
and then we do all our maintenance in Minot, North Dakota, but the home base is Houston, Texas, down at Ellington Field.
All right. And as you travel around, I suppose you are, like everyone else who has a Warbird, exposed to the veterans who remember the aircraft when they flew them. Any outstanding or stories of veterans that kind of stick out with your
you? I tell you, it's something that you see all the time. And when you get a veteran that comes up and the TBM, I get a lot of folks, not only pilots, but gunners and bombardiers that come up to you, and you see the emotion that kind of washes over them. And what's interesting about that, too, is families will say, you know, he's never talked about this. He's never talked about it until he saw the airplane. And then it just wells up inside him, and then they just start talking. And it's fascinating to see those stories. We've recorded a lot of those stories. We kind of take that on the road with us, our video crew, and they just start filming when you get these veterans. One of the most interesting aspects of that was President George H.W. Bush, and obviously his time in the TBM. We've had the opportunity to be able to fly for him, do private air shows at Kennebunkport, and on a couple of different occasions, but he loves to talk about the TBM. One of the things, though, that's striking is every time he sees it, he says, you know, there isn't a day goes by that he says, I don't think about my crew that I lost. And he said, every single day I think about him. And it always upsets him when he sees the plane to an extent. It makes him happy to see it, but he thinks about that crew, and he names them every time.
Very similar to, I'm sure, many, many other veterans in their stories.
Yes.
With World War II. And again, that's the mission of the Texas Flying Legends, the EIA Warbirds of America Commemorative Air Force, is to keep that those memories alive and to share them with future generations so we never forget what happened during World War II.
That's right.
That was the, you know, the rallying cry of after Pearl Harbor is never forget.
That's
always
right.
Remember Pearl Harbor. And Pearl Harbor will be featured this week at AirVenture. Tomorrow is kind of a Pearl Harbor day, and boy, it will be interesting to go to Hawaii for the 75th anniversary.
I hope it works out.
I hope it works out for you as well. I mean, that would be amazing to be there at that place on that anniversary.
Well, one of the things we're looking at doing, the TBM that Texas Flying Legends owns, that particular TBM took part in the mass flyover of the USS Missouri in Tokyo Bay on the day the surrender was signed. And so we're hoping that obviously we'll be able to do that. We'll fly over the USS Missouri at Pearl Harbor. You know, 75 years later from the start of the war, and we want to be able to be able to say we did that and that airplane did that. But that airplane is a combat veteran, and it was there.
Wow. Amazing stories of we were talking about That's All Brother a little while ago.
Yep.
Your TBM. You were also part of the mass flyover in Washington, D.C.,
yes.
The Arsenal of Democracy last May, May 8th of 2015. What was that like?
It was an incredible experience. It really was. And our team led the last flight, or we had the last flight, the missing man flight. I was in the TBM. Doug Rosendahl was in the Corsair. Mark Murphy was in the Mustang, and Warren was in the P-40. And we flew through, and Doug did the pull, and it was very emotional looking down and seeing the thousands of people that were on the mall to see that, and then, of course, the veterans that were all there. But it was an incredible experience for every crew and a pilot that got to take part in that, and we're going to do it again on the 75th anniversary. So we're already planning that process. Pete Bunce is in the middle of it.
Yep.
With the General Aviation Manufacturers Association, CAF, and Texas Flying Legends, and we're stoked for it.
It was amazing because folks had said there's no way that they'll let you fly over the mall at low level with those old airplanes. And amazingly, you know, when you, again, going back to the political situation, you hear so much divisiveness
and, yep.
and fighting and everything else, but for all those agencies to come together with the aviation organizations,
yep.
and all with one mission is, let's make this happen. And
yep.
it's absolutely incredible.
It happened, and the fact that it happened and we flew through two exclusion zones, those
right.
are absolute exclusion zones, the White House and the Capitol, was amazing, and all the agencies were very cooperative and wanted to see it, and they were all out there watching just like
I'm
everyone
sure.
else.
Any final thoughts before we let you go today?
Well, it's you know, EAA is just, we all love to come here and we all love to be a part of it, and this is one of the few years that I get to spend the entire week here thanks to the Democrat National Convention, and so I'm looking forward to being here, and I'm around.
All right, and Texas Flying Legends, we'll look for them tomorrow in the
yep.
air show, and again, I believe it's Friday.
Yep.
Look for them, and the aircraft are on display out in the Warbird area. So
they will be there. They'll be there at 5 today.
All right. Congressman Sam Graves, we appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to join us today. This is From the Stand, and you are listening to EIA Radio.